great. Nobody greater, no. Nobody greater than you. Nobody can heal like you can. Oh, most holy one, you are the great I am. Awesome in all your ways, and mighty is your hand. You are he who carried out redemption's plan. You are he who carried out redemption's plan. Shalom.
This is KAYT. Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
And stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Gracious God, thank you afresh for this time of hearing from you. We praise you and give you glory and honor for challenging us and raising us to the next level in our walk with you and our maturity in you. So God, we give you praise and glory for each and every person you have ordained to hear this word this day. Bless us in a special way, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. I am led to Luke chapter 8, and I just want to bring out verse 35. We're going to share the story with you, but verse 35 is where our focus is going to be for this morning's message. Verse 35 says, then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in God's presence. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, changed from within. Changed from within. Let's back up for those of you who may not be familiar with the story. And in verse 26, it reads, and they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man. Whenever we see the word certain in scripture, it is a true story with a real person. However, the name is omitted so that we would spotlight the principle and not just highlight the person, which had devils long time and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. Now, first thing we see, Jesus crosses over now, and when he goes forth to land, man meets him. This man is filled with demons who has possessed his body for a long time. It's no new occurrence. It's no new incident. It is something he has dealt with and lived with for many years. And he, because he had been so impacted by the demonic spirits, He was a man who he didn't wear clothes. He couldn't fathom being and living in society as we know it. So he made his home. He was a homeless man, but he made his home among the dead in the tomb or in the cemetery or the graveyard. The Bible says, verse 28, when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and with a loud voice said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, most high? I beseech thee, torment me not. Now, it's interesting because the man is shouting this from his flesh, but this word is not coming from his flesh. This word is coming from the demonic powers or spirits that's possessing the flesh. As a matter of fact, the man is crying out, do not torment us, when he is living in a tormented state by the power of the demonic spirits that's occupying his life at present. Verse 29 says, for he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. Listen, verse 30 says, and Jesus asked him, saying, what is thy name? He said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. So he was possessed with multiple demons operating in him in different ways, fashions, and manners. And so Jesus knew who was speaking to him. Jesus identified the demonic spirit's presence, and he knew it was not the man talking, and he knew who it was in the person of demonic presence speaking. So the Bible says, verse 31, and they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. In other words, demonic spirits and presence operate best when they occupy human life or personality or flesh and blood. Bible says, verse 32, and there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. Verse 33 says, then went the devils, plural, out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. And then we get to the verse of our focus, verse 35, where it says, then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Now, I've shared this verse and this message before many times, but as we look again for fresh revelation and look to see how God wants us to mark certain truths in the word to be able to identify many times the activity of the enemy in others, and even many times in the activity that we might ourselves be participants of because we have had some demonic activity in our lives. Here's what you need to realize and understand, that God gives us his word so that we might learn from his word, to be able to operate in his word, to know the signs and the symbols and the signals of things that are right and things that are wrong. Now, there are some things that I want us to look at, because Christ had cast demons out of this man, and this man has been possessed before, and he was driven of the enemy into the wilderness, and then from there he goes into the tomb, and certain things, his life just continues to go down, go down, go down. Now, one of the things you're going to realize is this: even if you have been delivered from demonic activity, it doesn't mean that new demons can't come. You may have been delivered from one demon or multiple demons dealing with one thing or multiple things, but it doesn't mean just because you've been delivered by them that others won't come and take residence in a place that's not filled with the Spirit of the living God. And so there are some things you need to look at and see here. And when we look at this word, we're going to conclude that when Jesus touched his life, changed him, major changes became immediate in the life of this man, noted first by him and then by others who recognized him. Now, what just bothers me at the end of verse 35 is the response of the people who saw Jesus working. They were afraid. What were they afraid of? Because if you're about right, and if you're about good, and if you're about God, look like you ought to be happy. But when you become afraid because the Lord is casting out demons and the Lord is straightening out lives and the Lord is tearing down strongholds and the Lord is building folk up and the Lord is making crooked places straight and the Lord is lifting up low places and making them high and pulling down the high and making low. The only reason you got a reason to be afraid is because you ain't right with the Lord. Instead of them being afraid of the man possessed with demonic activity, instead of them being afraid of being possessed like this man was, they were afraid of Jesus who delivered this man. And they left, they saw that the herd, when they had been filled with demonic presence, ran violently down the mountain and ran into the water and literally committed suicide. The herders got excited and they saw it. They were wondering, my goodness, what's going on here? So they run and everybody they see, they're telling the story. Jesus has cast out demons and they're going everywhere. Now, maybe they were afraid they might come in them. I don't know what the problem was. The Bible just says they were afraid. But here's the problem. The people who weren't there to see came back to see. And what they came to see was very different, obviously, from what they had heard. But when they saw the man they knew, the man they mocked, the man they made fun of, the man they called crazy, the man they ridiculed, the man they laughed at, the man they pointed fingers at, the man who would fall in the fire and into the water oft times, the man who ran around naked and people would look at him and make fun at, they saw him. And I want you to see him in the wonderful change that had happened from the inside out. Let's go. First thing I need you to see about this is, you don't see the man running, you see the man resting. Because the text says, verse 35, then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man. The man that they had looked for when they wanted a good joke, a good laugh, when they wanted to poke fun at somebody who would be running around naked, acting crazy, shouting, cutting himself, running into the fire, getting into the water. They had a show at that man's expense and his hurt and his pain. But now they don't see him running. They see him resting. The Bible says sitting. Sitting. I've shared this before, but I want to make this clear again. Demonic spirits don't like to see you resting. They drive you, as the word has already made clear. They won't allow you to be at peace. It's something wrong with folk who just can't sit down and be still. Y'all think I'm joking. I'm so serious about that. Some folk, they're just rest. They're driven. They got to be doing something. And I'm not just talking about overactivity and all of that. I'm not just talking about, you know, the symptoms of ADD and all that. I'm talking about demonic possession. Because the stuff they're doing ain't got nothing to do with God. And so this man had this issue. And so now, for the first time since he's been delivered, he can finally sit down and not run around like a crazy man possessed with demon possession and presence. And so he's resting there, resting. Constant roaming, the constant movement, the constant unrest that he experienced is now gone. And the people found him, listen, at the right place. At the feet of Jesus. Now I got news for you. He couldn't be too crazy. Because he had at least sense enough after he had been delivered to sit at the blessed feet of Jesus, to learn from Jesus, to behold Jesus, to get more information and inspiration from Jesus who had set him free. He was resting in a place where his soul was at peace. And there's some things that I want you to know, my brothers and sisters, because when we look at this, it speaks of the power that Jesus has to give us a rest that no man can give us, a rest that no possession can give us, that peace that comes from the Prince of Peace that gives us the ability to sit and to hear what God has to say to us so that we can move and function and flow in the things of God with our right mind. And the right mind, incidentally, is the mind of Christ. But I want you to see something. Not only was he sitting, but also he was and was resting. But the next thing you need to know is that he sat there and rest there because he had respect there. You see, when Jesus delivered him from those demons, he had a great respect for Jesus. Jesus could have looked at him like others did. Could have treated him like others did, could have mocked and made fun of him like others did, but Jesus saw something underneath the skin that others did not. And Jesus did something about his real issue, his real condition, his real situation. That's one of the things I love about the Lord. You know, man looks on the outer appearance, but thanks be to God that he looks at the heart. That's why a sinner can come to Jesus just as he is, just as she is, without one plea. They don't have to make an excuse. They don't have to try and change what they cannot change. They don't have to try and pretend that they are what they aren't. All they've got to do is just as they are, come to him, and he will receive them in their present state. But before they leave him, they'll leave in a changed condition. That's why we ought to welcome the people whom we've been sent to save, change, and transform in a way that looks beyond their flesh and beyond their outer conditions and beyond their natural realities and look underneath the skin in the spirit and see the need that Jesus has sent them to the church to minister to. What a difference this and any other church opened up in the name of the Lord who operates in the power of the Lord would make in any community when the folk of the community who are not right in the community know that they could go to any church of God and really get right. But the problem most times is that they can't really get right in the church of God because there are too many folk judging them, looking at them funny, trying to wonder what is their motive and purpose for being in us church. Excuse me, but did not Jesus say, I didn't come to call the righteous unto repentance, but the sinner? Didn't he say, it's not the well who need the physician, but the sick? If I'm doing well, healthy, and all is good, it'll be something strange for me to go to the hospital talking about checking in the bed just to just relax. Matter of fact, they expect me to come sick, broken, hurt, messed up. And then when I leave there, the whole plan and purpose of them is to put me back together again. But when we have people come to the church, we expect them to come already saved and filled with the Holy Ghost and doing well. And so far from that is the truth. The church is the spiritual hospital for whosoever will. You don't see the hospital turning away somebody in the ER because they've been shot up 10, 12 times in a terrible accident and don't look like they're going to make it. You don't see them turning away and say, listen, this person is too far gone for us to even try. No, they've taken an oath. They're going to try until there's no breath left in that body. And when they've done all they know to do, then they're going to still try and do whatever they can do to keep life going until life says no more. But when people come to many of the churches of God, what a different spirit do they find? They find folk who have met the Lord Jesus, who have been saved, who have been changed, who've been transformed, but act like they want God to cut the membership roll and don't take no more new folk. Unless they look like us and they're on our level, unless they do what we do, unless they're a part of our group, our cliques, our hangouts, we really don't want to have much to do. We don't really want to see God take somebody who's a drug addict, a prostitute, a pimp, or anything else come in our churches. We want them to get it together before they get here. And so when they went to see what had happened, they saw Jesus. And they saw the man that Jesus touched, and he was changed from the inside out. And when this man had received his deliverance, he respected Jesus so much that he wanted to hear what the Lord had to say. I got news for you. If we preach Jesus, if we teach Jesus, if we witness in the name of Jesus, if we save folk in the name of Jesus, they won't have a problem sitting in these pews on Sunday morning hearing about Jesus because they've had a life-changing experience with him. So not only was he resting, not only did he have respect, but if we read the word, we're going to discover that he was robed. Clothed. Listen at the text again. Bible says, and found the man out of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed. Now, if this weren't an important point to ponder, it wouldn't be in Scripture. So since it's in Scripture, I'm going to ponder the point. Clothed. Listen, something is wrong, and I want to throw this out too, because when you are possessed, you got issues with clothes. Matter of fact, the greater the possession, the less the clothes. You'll catch that on your way home. Folk that don't want clothes on, and I'm talking about in public places. I ain't talking about at your house. I'm not talking about in your privacy. I'm talking about when you ought to be dressed in a public way, decently representing God and yourself, and you are scantily dressed or inappropriately dressed. That suggests that there is something going on underneath the skin. If you want to draw folk attention, let it be to your mind, your conversation, your character, your content, not just your body. And so the modesty is lost when demon possession happens in many folk. They rip off clothes. They don't want anything that seems like it brings them in captivity or has a covering on them. It is symbolic of them having some liberated, unsubstantiated freedom, because the truth of the matter is they're not really free. They're being made a fool of. How many times have you seen some folk so scantily dressed and they thought they were looking good and you were saying they must not have passed by a mirror? If you really knew how you look, you'd cover all that up. So the first thing they noted was this man is not running around acting a fool, and he's sitting down with a peaceful disposition, and he has respect for what Jesus is saying, and he's got clothes on. It Probably took them a minute to recognize him because they were so used to seeing him naked when they saw him with clothes on. Is that really him? And so when he was robed, clothed, it suggested again that he had found himself. You remember when Adam and Eve messed up and had fallen into sin? Now, because when they sinned and messed up, they had the privilege. The body that God made was perfect and it was well and it was all right. Matter of fact, it was okay for them to be naked because it was just a husband and wife there. Y'all catch that when you're on your way home. Ain't nobody but them was in the garden. But the moment they both partook of the fruit and came into the knowledge that they were naked, sin made them realize that they had lost the natural covering of God's beauty. And now they began to cover up those things again that made them feel unclean and unworthy and sinful. The mindset shifted. And what was right now became wrong. What was beautiful was now nasty, inappropriate. And now those who are in sin try to take the position of those who originally were saved and truly free. And so they call themselves being liberated and free to be them. But the morals and the mindsets are so different that all it alludes to is perversion. So when you see this and you recognize this, you understand that before his change, he was naked and it was a sinful thing. And his actions were sinful. And all of the things he did were sinful. And it was an indignation to anybody who was righteous and who was real. But then Jesus touched him. And created in him immediately a change. See, there are some things about you that God, when he meets you through Jesus Christ in the power and presence of the Holy Ghost, that changes immediately. And there are other things that he continuously works on and changes and prunes us and makes us better and matures us and develops us. But there are some things that are noteworthy that happen immediately. The last thing, my brothers and sisters, that we discover in this verse is that he sat in the presence of the Lord, resting, robed. And even when we look at this word with the respect he gave to the Lord, the record is he was now rational because he was in his right mind. In his right. It had been so long since he had been in his right mind. It felt good to be in his right mind. Satan would have folk to believe that when you follow Christ, you act fanatical and crazy, irrational, and all of these other things that the world does. But so untrue is that. This man was rational, sane, and sober in the presence of the Lord. He could now gather, understand, receive, and be ministered to, and be able to minister to others because of what he had gained in his encounter with the Lord. Listen, one of the things that I want you to understand is the Lord wants to change all of us continually from the inside out first. See, too many of us are covered up on the outside and yet unchanged on the inside. And if you don't change the inside first, it doesn't matter what the covering looks like on the outside. You'll never be able to get, gather, or gain all God wants you to unless you are in your right mind. Again, that is the mind of Christ that is on the inside of you, rationally leading you, guiding you, and showing you what it is he wants for you. And whole lot of people miss God because they're looking for an external.